This week on the Afrobeats podcast.
But what we're learning with climate change is that we're having longer seasons. Mm-hmm. So I've had tomatoes until November in certain years, like not this year, but the previous year, I had tomatoes into November. So I think there is some strategy in, let's take advantage of not getting caught up on the date, but taking advantage of the longer season we can grow in, and also planning, doing some succession growing, right? So some of the things that you're going to do early in the season, that spinach, that arugula, things like that, you're not going to have that by the end of the summer. Right. So let's have something that we can put in its place to extend that time. Yeah. So all those things make sense when you start planning out weather, because you want to make sure you can get the most bang for your buck with gardening.
Today's special guest in the building, we have a New Orleans-grown, D.C.-based accountant by day and a garden coach and land cultivator by night. You may find them talking on the news about how the weather can affect your garden or chatting it up with Martha Stewart herself. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Dominique from Plots and Pans. What's up, y'all? It's your boy.
Watch this.
You're listening to the Afrobeats podcast, garden and table content inspired by culture and soul.
My new puppy, Butter. Butter is a baby, and he's like, why are you not playing with me right now? But we followed each other, and we're familiar with each other, and then you had the contest, and so I was like, well, shoot, this sounds fun. Yeah. So I won the contest, and I got to go to the apple butter class, and we had a great time. The apple butter was delicious. It was with I want to say you did pink lady apples.
Yeah, it was that. And I think it had like a little bit of cranberry in it.
Did have cranberry. And I was very suspect on it, because I was like,
you're like, what's going on?
What kind of European centric apple butter are we making? But it was delicious. I actually polished it. I'm probably embarrassed to say how fast I ate it, because it was pretty much a dessert to me. So it was delicious though. So that was the first time we met, and then we saw each other again. What was that? And my favorite thing, Rooting DC at Ron Brown. And I think that was the last in-person Rooting DC. So maybe that was 2019. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I think that's it. And then, you know, the socials. Oh, you're the best TikToker in the whole wide world.
I don't know about that, but I do try.
Man, listen. I got that partnership with TikTok, and I was like, can you help me? Because I don't know what I'm doing. And you are here like, TikTok, TikTok.
It's just me just being normal and then just filming it pretty much.
I love it. I love it. I think it's hard to be a creative. For me, I think I'm a creative, but I'm very math minded. So the things that I do that could be considered creative, I don't always process as creative. I'm just like, oh, well, I just do this. And then somebody else has created the best TikTok, best reel. Right. And I'm like, dang, well, that's just Tuesday for me. So right. I'm trying to switch the brain space into
that type of stuff. Can't stand that comparison game, because we're all different. We all offer a little something special, you know?
That part.
You got to figure out your niche.
Oh, yeah. Washington Youth Garden. I was like, I know we know each other for more than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was the best panel ever. I actually saved that clip. I'm saving it for something special, but I saved that clip from the end where I'm like, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to try to do another one. People have been asking for it too, because you guys brought so much value, but I digress. But I wanted to at least start with, for people who don't know you, your origin story and how you even got here. Talk a little about that first.
All right. So my origin story is that I am a New Orleanian, tried and true. My dad is West Indian. He's from a small island called Dominica, which is why my name is Dominique. My mom's from the country. They met in pharmacy school, and that's how we ended up in New Orleans. So my mom's from a small town in Louisiana called Greensburg, and her parents were both educators, but they were also farmers. And they were so cute. My grandfather was like 6'5". My grandmother was 4'11". Sorry. So you see this tall man and this little bitty lady, and they've farmed. So I've always grown up in an agricultural environment. And actually, so they both went to Southern University's agricultural, the ag school. So I'm like, ag department, but so Southern University's ag school. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things I've always been familiar with, but I was really into being outside as a little girl. Then as you get older, you're like, I'm trying to be out here. I'm trying to be in these streets. So I kind of went away from that stuff. And when did I purchase my home? I purchased my home in DC in 2013. So a girlfriend of mine in 2014 secretly interviewed me. And I'm in Northeast and I have one of those long yards. I have lots of yards. It's such a blessing.
Row house yards and all that.
Yeah, those row house yards. But some of them have no yard. Yeah. So thankfully I have a very long yard, and which is a pain to cut. So, well, maybe not. I don't cut the grass. So she's like, man, you should start a garden. I'm like, girl, I'm trying to have brunch. I'm trying to have a cookout.
Right.
And she's like, no. Well, if you did a garden, what would you do? And so I was telling her all the things that I would love to grow one day. So my housewarming comes up and she's getting all these people to help her. And I'm like, what did she bring over here? And basically she started my first garden for me. Wow. So I started to capture that stuff on like my personal social media. So my first garden was two salad gardens, essentially. And then some herbs, salad garden herbs. Cool. I was excited about that. When the tomatoes will come up, I'm sharing those on social and people are like, oh my God, this is so cool. So the next year I actually did my first 4x4 bed and I grew corn and I'm again sharing stuff because people are like, you can grow corn. Like none, you know, we're so used to eating things, but we don't think about the origin and how they actually grow. I think we assume a farm, but don't think that you can grow it in your backyard. And so as I started growing more and more each year, people were getting more and like just very curious about it and asking questions. I had two separate girlfriends. They don't even know each other, but both of them had the same conversation with me. And they were like, you need to start this as a business. You need to share your page. So I started a new page and it was called Plots and Fans. And I think I started it privately. I didn't even tell people I was starting it. I think they told me I should, like you were getting like the deep story. So they told me I should. And I was like, okay. So I was like, well, I can make a website too. So I started creating this website, and my initial website, I actually created myself on what's it called? Wix.
Wix.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But like I took it as far as I could take it. And so that was August. By the time like I had really gotten to that point, that was August 2017. So we were in Miami for a wedding and I literally pressed the button to make the website go live. So I had everything like set up and scheduled.
Yep.
So I made the website go live, the Instagram go live, and Facebook go live all at the same time. And then I turned my phone off on the flight. And I was super nervous because I was like, well, how are people going to react? Because there's always the whole concept of the, the imposter syndrome or just honestly some insecurity. And when I tell you, I got back when we landed in DC, it's me and my best friend. And I'm like, oh my God, people are interested. And I think in the first day I got 100-something followers, which, you know, for me, I don't want to say I'm such a private person, but I am a private person. Right. So to see people want to like enjoy this aspect of my life, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so from that, it's just started to grow. I got a TikTok partnership. They found me on Instagram and I didn't even believe it was real. I had to look up the man in LinkedIn. I was like, oh, this is a real thing. And from the TikTok partnership, the Martha Stewart partnership came. And then somebody from NBC4 reached out. So it's interesting because I got national or international recognition before local recognition.
Wow.
But it's as much as I enjoyed the Martha Stewart experience, I actually, when my neighbor called me when the news came on, and I didn't break down. I'm a crier too. I didn't cry like that. I was so touched. Like the number of people, you know, in my community, like literally my neighbors being like, oh my God. So that for me was just really special. So I've just been building these gardens and yeah, that's me.
That's so dope. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm so happy for you and proud of you. And you know what you're talking about. I love that. So when you're on like the news and things like that, I know you guys talk with like the Weather Channel a little bit.
Oh my gosh. So the Weather Channel also found me from local news.
Mm.
So they asked me, my last Weather Channel spot was really cool because I kind of would say I got to produce it. They were like, well, what are some things you want to talk about? And so I just started talking and kind of doing a run of show and being like, I think this should go here and this should. And I was like, oh my gosh. So they just kind of asked me, well, what are some things? Oh, Christian, you about to get all the tea. Because they asked me some things. So basically, they really enjoyed me on the Weather Channel. And I'm actually going to be a regular on the Weather Channel. I'll have a regular little series throughout the summer of popping back up and sharing.
That's awesome. Because, you know, for me, so I'm terrible at looking at the weather. Like, I'll just go outside and just play whatever, just hope something doesn't happen. But like, that is like one of the most underrated things about gardening people don't talk about is like, you gotta watch what's happening around you in your atmosphere, because if you don't, like, that could be the end of your plants. Like, I'm dealing with this crazy weather in DC right now, and I'm like, you know, I lost a couple lettuce here and there, but I got it together. But talk about that. Like, how important is the weather?
The weather is super important. I think, like you said, a lot of people downplay it. They don't understand. I think people are like, oh, it's spring. First day of spring, let's go. And as much as that would be exciting, that's not really a thing. You have to pay attention to that last frost date. So our last frost date, there is no solid date, but there's an estimation. So our estimated last frost date for 2022 was April 2nd. Personally, I still give things about a week or two after the last frost date because, Christian, you're here. So you know. This weekend, I had on a leather jacket.
The season.
I mean, it was cold. It was windy. And it was very uncomfortable. I felt like I needed some tights on. But so you want to just be mindful of that, because while ideally the seasons have changed on the calendar, you also want to make sure that I'm looking outside at the weather. But you want to make sure that the soil is warm enough, right? You want at least 50 degrees soil. For me, the way I think of things, I want the most ideal conditions. So with that, I want the temperatures to be, if the baseline has to be 50, I kind of want to push it to 53, maybe even 55. And then things that we can consider is that, like, if you're looking at the old calendars and the old almanacs, you know, things should go on the ground on this day and they should come up on this day. But we're learning with, it's so funny because as I'm talking, I'm like, I really love this stuff. But what we're learning with climate change is that we're having longer seasons. So I've had tomatoes until November in certain years, like not this year, but the previous year, I had tomatoes into November. So I think there is some strategy in, let's take advantage of not getting caught up on the date, but taking advantage of the longer season we can grow in, and also planning, doing some succession growing, right? So some of the things that you're going to do early in the season, that spinach, that arugula, things like that, you're not going to have that by the end of the summer.
Right.
So let's have something that we can put in its place extend that time. Yeah. So all those things make sense when you start planning out weather, because you want to make sure you can get the most bang for your buck with gardening.
That's so true. Yeah, I put like some spinach out, you know, I put my collards out, all those things. Cause like, all right, you know, I got a shaded little area. I'm growing on a balcony this year. So I'm trying to like be strategic about what I'm doing. I was like, all right, it's going to be, you know, a cold for a little bit. So let's get some like frost resistant out there and see what happened.
And you know, you can come grow over here too. You are more than welcome. You can get you a plot.
All you gotta do is say a word. I'll be over there. You know, I got
come on.
Seedlings indoor. You know, I got some seeds and stuff for you. So
because the word on the street is that you have a partnership with Bonnie.
I mean, you know, people say things.
The internet told me that you have a partnership with Bonnie. I'm trying to get off. I mean, if Bonnie has some plants they would like to share.
I mean, look.
And I forgot to share my other partnership.
What's up?
Super cool company. It's called Women's Work. And they make these gloves. So I talk about it sometimes, but I have really small hands.
Okay.
And they make gloves specifically for women. And so women who garden will know that if you try to get like a man's glove, it's bulky. Ugh. So anyway, I'm having a partnership with you and Bonnie, but I have Women's Work. So they sent some cool gloves, some, aprons, all kind of stuff. Like they have their things on lock for women, like perfectly sized and whatnot.
Right. So, yes. Okay. I like that. Yeah. I love what is going on in the women's space, specifically in the field of gardening. I think like it's just blowing up right now. Like what's some, you know, evolutions in the space, what's some changes that you're starting to see in, and what are you trying to do more of?
So changes in the space that I think are very visible, and I would say are more Black women. I think if you Googled a gardener, if you Googled woman gardener in back in the day, you would see an old 65-year-old white lady.
Yeah.
And there is nothing wrong with Nana over there, but I am not Nana. I'm more like Auntie. Yeah. And, you know, Godmama, Aunt, you know, TT is who I am. But I think you're seeing more women who are like, you know, 30s to 40s who are gardening. You're seeing more Black women who are cool. That's the other side of it. Like, I'm not a PC earthy girl. Most times when I'm gardening, I have on all my jewelry. I have my nails done. Yeah. I mean, those are things that are important to me. I like that stuff. But I think what you're seeing in the space, there's a girl, Jasmine, with Black Girl with Garden. Jasmine wears nails. But she looks great. But like, she's not giving you PC earthy. And I think that's what you're finding more of with the Black women in the space. I think you are going to find the people who are very much like, you know, of our foremothers and that type of thing. But then there's people like me who are really just like, I'm a regular girl in a garden. I grow my own food. But, you know, I think that's the big change you would see in this space is just seeing regular Black girls.
You're right on it. I think gardening is so stylistic. Like, you can do anything. Like, I know I have a specific style. I like to do things. You probably have a specific style. Like, what are some of the things, if people came into your garden and visit, they're like, oh, yeah, this is a Dominique garden. Is there anything that's, like, specific? Like, what?
Now, you set this question up because everybody knows that I am the green bean queen. If they don't have green beans in the garden, it's not mine.
It's okay.
So hands down, you're going to see, I have a, I think I want to change it this year, but I have a green bean wall. So they kind of hang, we built this trellis. And so in the summertime, when they're at like full leafy bloom, they look so dope because it's a really cool photo wall. So this year I kind, if I have time to like build this thing, but I kind of want to build a like kind of archway for them to go over. Now you got to remember I'm 5'1", so it sounds good in theory, but can I reach the beans at the top? Probably not. I'm going to need a ladder and I don't know if it's worth all that. But that's the one thing you'll see in my garden that you're like, of course she has green beans. And also tomatoes. I have varieties of tomatoes. Now, interestingly enough, I have a food aversion to tomatoes, but I love tomatoes. So I'm going to grow them every time and just eat them slowly but surely. But in terms of like a physical thing, that's it. In terms of gardens that I build, you'll always see my, I will say my best friend pet. And that's going to be, you know, basil, tomatoes, marigolds. And a lot of the time I try to throw some hot peppers in there. Yeah. I like bell peppers, but I just feel like hot peppers are more diverse.
Absolutely.
Bell peppers are cool, but I think I need a use case for bell peppers.
Yeah.
So I like to do definitely tomatoes, basil and marigold, but I'm always going to add some hot peppers. So that is any garden that I build, they're going to have that combination.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. You know, I like your setups because you're very like handy. Like you do like a lot of like woodwork stuff, whether it be for your clients or the stuff you're trying at home. I saw this one video of you growing watermelon and I thought it was really interesting because you had something on like top of the box. Like, explain how you grow your watermelon. Cause I thought I saw you growing like almost through like a top or something to like stable. Well,
that's actually a table. That's my work table. First of all, I am very impressed with the level of research you've done. I've done watermelon. Actually, I've done it three ways. I've let them run. I've also grown them on a trellis. Wouldn't suggest that they are too heavy. Mm. The work that you have to do to keep them on the trellis, it was a lot. And then I grew them on, and also in addition to letting them run, well, this was a cool one. I also put them on a table. Mm. So I have a work table. It's an old IKEA table. And I just had them grow there. And so what I was doing was as the vine was growing, I was kind of wrapping it around the table because think about it, watermelon runs long. So yep. It's kind of like, well, I don't have the space. I do have the space, but I enjoy my yard. So I was letting it go around and around the table. So that's probably what you saw when I had the one and I was like, I think I slapped my hand or something like that because I'm a mosquito. I don't know how I got that, but yeah, I grew it on the table. So I plan on growing watermelon again this year. I'm going to be selling some at my sale, and two different types of heirloom watermelons. I think Stars and Stripes, maybe an Amish watermelon, something like that. So
yeah. All right, well, that might be the one I'm gonna have to pay a visit for, because I got some watermelon seeds, but I don't know. For some reason, that was always a hard one for me, watermelon, just because of the type of space I am. They typically-
I was about to say, yeah, that space was gonna kill you.
That one was always hard for me, and they just need a ton of water. So, but you know, what is something like you specifically had trouble with, or you still have trouble with to these days? What kind of stumped you for a little while there?
I will tell you, zucchini. So there are years where, last year I had a ton of zucchini. Mm-hmm. There are years where zucchini is like knocking them dead in my yard. And then there's years where the squash borers just take me out really quickly. So that's probably the most consistently inconsistent thing that I can grow is zucchini. I'm trying to think what else that I've had. I think that's the one thing I've had trouble growing. I did try doing some cabbages one year. Some of them grew. And again, that's the same kind of like, what is it? The cabbage beetles. Mm-hmm. Those were the worst. So all those brassicas can be really, really funky. And one year I had some cabbages and my friend stepped on them in my yard. I was you kidding me? Like they were growing. But yeah, I would say the cabbages were hard, but hands down, zucchini. It's just, you literally never know what you're going to get in a particular year.
Yep. Yeah. They do it interesting in the youth garden. They do the trellis situation with the zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
And have like a kind of like a post that they grow on the line. But when I tried to do it at home, I was same thing. It can be very fickle at times.
And I've read, so I talked to Niraj at Cultivate the City. You know, that's my boo. Love me some Niraj and Meg.
Niraj is the best.
Oh, he's the best. So when I talked to Niraj about it years ago, he was like, the squash borers are like native to our area, or so you're just going to get them. So again, some years they're like, kind of like, what's those things that we all hate? The cicadas. Some years they'll come around heavy, some years they won't, you know, it's just a toss up.
I see. Okay, cool. What are, so you have been doing, how long have you been doing the garden coach thing? Because you are making some headway with these clients. I feel like every time I see you post, you're in somebody's yard. So,
and I don't always post them because I'm doing work.
Work, and you got a full-time job. So I'm trying to figure out like how many people have you hit so far? Because we need to be making this collective together and figure out what's going on. You know,
first of all, I'm all about a collective. I never do, I can promise you this, I have never done an interview without dropping somebody else's name. Because for me, it's important that one, all of my clients they've either been word of mouth or they've seen me on something, but somehow they got to me. Like, it's very rare that they just came on their own. Something brought them to me. And so it's important for me to share those same connections with other people. Mm-hmm. So when I tell you I've never done an interview without sharing, now it may get cut, but I am always dropping a name. I did one recently. And I didn't know any of the people who I talked about. Like, I didn't know them personally.
Yeah.
Let me do something in DC. Oh, I'm sending them out to, I haven't even been to their place yet. Ginkgo Gardens. Go to Ginkgo. Go to Niraj. Go to Christian, you know, whatever. Because I just feel like that's really important. Whether we have been able to experience each other's work or not, we can vouch for the fact that we know each other's work is good without having seen it ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yes. That is important to me. So if you need to get a collective, I'm all in. Sign me up. Yeah. As for how many clients, I don't know. Because this year is different. I think with people, with the weather being colder longer, the clients haven't been as active as they have been. But then it's also different because I've done I've done several consultations so far. There are more people who are a little bit more hands-on this year. So I have another consultation tomorrow, but I have a pool program this weekend. I'm working with the Girl Scouts. So one of the Girl Scout troop here. So I'm doing a program with them, and I'm doing another lady who I actually did her garden last year. I did a consultation with her this year. And then she asked, could I do like a program for her girls group? So she's like, all in.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you know, I'm not sure of the number. I'd have to count, which what a blessing, right? I'm like, that's probably a decent amount of people. But you know, we'll see. I'm again, I think the season is starting slow because it's still cold, but you know, hopefully they come. And if they don't, I'm gonna be all right too.
I know you will. The reason I brought that up is because going back to the collective thing, I think we're getting to a point where between, you know, us and, you know, Melissa and just everybody, we have like such a connection in this space, you know, in this area. And it only makes sense as the next step for us to come together and figure out how do we continue to make this like a community outside of just, you know, the internet space. Like, how do we connect real time doing these events and stuff like that? And
I really love that idea. I'm willing to host y'all at my house or whoever wants to do it. I'm in to participate. I think what also makes it cool with our folks is that there's only been two examples I can give you of like competition. Mm-hmm. The one was me trying to compete with this other girl. And I was like, why? Yeah. And I think I talked about that on the Washington Youth Garden thing. And so basically y'all may not have seen it, but there's a girl who looks like, she doesn't, in theory, she looks like me. She's brown skin. She might be a little bit browner than me, but she's plus size. She wears her hair natural. At the time we had similar haircuts. My hair is locked now.
Yeah.
But she wore her hair natural. She also wears overalls. I'm like, we're the same. And I felt intimidated because I was like, oh my God, she's going to get all the people. And I had to really remind myself, like, you got your lane and she got hers, and Everybody could eat. Like, it's not a true competition. And then there was one other person who I felt like was competing against me in a sense of like, if I posted something, they would post something similar right after. And I was just like, you know, if that's what they have to do, that's what they have to do. Because when it's all said and done, you're going to get your clients and I'm going to get my clients, and maybe we'll, you know, there might be a few who are going between the two of us, but it's going to all work out. And so I've had to really get out of that space. But otherwise, I mean, I reached out to Tam from Tam in the Garden.
Yep.
I asked her about something like, oh, how does this fit? Cause she's a plus size woman as well. And she was like, oh, this fits great. And da-da-da-da-da. You know, I just feel like our community as a whole is very welcoming with each other. So yeah, minimal competition. I won't say no, but you know, minimal competition. I think everybody wants to eat.
It is what it is. Yeah. But you know, I'm really happy about specifically this area, cause there's actually really a history like of us really sharing resources. And like, I don't know if you've been out to Deanwood yet, but they have like an interesting history about, you know, how they come from people of farmers out there, and they were bartering food and all kinds of stuff back in the past. There's this book, Black Food Geographies, mm-hmm. by Asante Reese. You should check that out. But it talks about the history of like people coming from like an agriculture family and then coming, migrating up this way to DC and just being self-sustaining. And I'm like, I don't see why we can't do that, you know?
I mean, we can. I think that we just have to, one, have a plan.
Yeah.
I think too often people talk, I think people come up with ideas, but they don't always want to be the leader.
Execute, yeah.
Yeah, they want somebody else to execute. And the problem is with that concept is that is tiring.
Yeah.
I'm an executor. And so like at work, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
But with that, you also have to say, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And set the tone and set those boundaries. So I think, you know, we haven't always had a plan. I think with the garden folks, I think it's easy to barter when you want to versus when it's a necessity. And then when you start feeling like you have to do it, it becomes overwhelming. Because mm-hmm. I think most of us are kind of free spirited. Like I don't feel that most of us may have made this our primary income. And so with that, there's levels to, I don't want to do this anymore, or I don't want to do mm-hmm. that. So it can make that collective space of like, let's get a bartering thing a little bit difficult.
For sure. I can definitely see that. Yeah. It's a conversation when you have to talk and figure like who's serious about it, you know, and then go from there. But yeah. Well, I want to talk about the like the little intricacies of gardening. Talk about a little about your soil mix. I noticed you have like a very interesting soil that you use for your clients, stuff like that. What are you doing there? Like when you get somebody,
why are you trying to get my magic potion?
I'm not trying to keep what you want. I'm just trying to say, you know, people be asking me, so I, you know, give them a little.
I'm trying to get a little bit. So I will say the essential element to mm-hmm. there's a couple things that I find are essential.
Okay.
The number one item is compost and good compost. And I will tell you, there's one compost I don't like.
Yes.
You know, it's a little too strong for me.
Yeah.
Now, the compost that I absolutely love and have driven all over the DMV for is Leaf Grow. Oh, my God. Do you use Leaf Grow?
I use Leaf Grow. I used it last year in my garden bed. It's solid. Like, you get the volume.
It's beautiful,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. It's nice. It's great texture. Great texture.
And it's just, so Leaf Grow is, like, black.
Yeah.
Like, black, 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 black on black.
Talk about that quality of compost, because I don't think people, when people say compost in your soil mix, they don't understand, like, the quality matters. Like, that's why
I think soil quality matters. I think people are just like, first of all, I get real touchy when folks are like, can you grab the dirt? And I'm like, what is the dirt? This is soil.
Yeah.
Granted, it's the same thing, but it's not the same thing. The soil mix is probably the most important part. Like, you can get seeds, you can do seedlings. I prefer seedlings, except for, like, leafy greens and beans. But the compost is important for me, and the coconut coir.
Yeah.
Those two are the essential elements of my garden, because some of the things you might not be able to find in the manner that you want. So, like, obviously you're using soil. I like to grow everything organically only because I'm growing it at my house. Why would I use chemicals?
Yeah.
So I do whatever. I use my old soil. I add the compost. I add the coconut coir. Oh, and my baby. These people need to give me a deal. Espoma Garden Tone. That is my baby.
Okay.
I love Espoma. Like, it's, I don't think I've ever done a garden without it. That is another item I'll drive all over for. But I have so much of it, you know. And then I got some other little trade secrets. And then y'all know my eggshells. I think that's what you were getting at.
But my eggshells. No, I just, you know, people.
Well, I'm over here like, yeah, and I have this and I have that. And I am clearly the person who you do not want to give you a recipe.
Because
I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot this and this and this.
Yeah,
and my eggshells. So I save eggshells all year. Friends bring me eggshells. It's the best. One of my friends was like, yeah, girl, I have some eggshells for you. I was like, oh, I'll come get them. She's like, well, I need to crack the eggs first. And I was like, what? She's so sweet though. But yeah, so eggshells are essential. So yes, eggshells, coconut coir, compost and Espoma. Now, those are things that you're going to find in every garden I do. Sometimes they'll be a little mixed up with different things, earthworm castings, rice husk, but I can't always find the rice husk, can't always find the earthworm.
Sure.
So those are things that, you know, I do what I can with those.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what are some of the things this year you're excited about? Are you trying anything different in the garden? Talk about that.
So this year's garden, I am doing more watermelon. I'm going to start them a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So I found that sometimes last year's garden was trash, but I was really appreciative. I had so many, the reason why is I was so blessed to have so many clients, right? But the problem was I put the clients first and me second. Therefore, my garden was super trash.
Mm-hmm.
So this year I'm back to my beautiful garden.
Yep.
So I'll definitely have some green beans. I actually have some content I just shot about that, because some volunteer green beans from not cleaning up my yard. So those are coming in already. I'm excited about those, of course. Also excited about, I'm going to do some artichoke this year. I'm excited to do that. It's something different. I do enjoy artichokes. So I was like, let's try something new. And I think I'm going to grow asparagus. I don't love asparagus from the store, but I do love fresh asparagus.
Yes.
So I think that'll be a cool perennial to have there. So those are probably the most exciting new things. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot of the same things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, you know, because what's important to me is to make sure I'm growing things I actually eat. I think some people get excited and they're like, oh, I want to grow all the things. But you don't eat cilantro, girl. Why are you growing cilantro?
Yeah.
And I'm not growing it to give it away.
Yep.
It's too expensive.
Yep.
So I'm excited to grow those things. But, you know, my regular sweet potatoes, I might throw in some Yukon Gold potatoes because I find that I buy those enough that I can sustain growing them.
Right, right.
What else? Yeah, garlic, onions, tomatoes, beans, greens, tomatoes, potatoes.
Yeah.
You name
all that good stuff. Well, I was, speaking of you being from New Orleans, I was there for
a week. Oh, I saw.
Long ago. I was having the best time. I'm not gonna lie to you. I love New Orleans.
We have a really good vegan scene that I don't think people
underrated. Completely. I didn't know that. I had like my little gumbo, I had my purple, all that. But it was good. It was very good.
Well, if you think about Creole cooking, it's so many fresh vegetables and it's so much, most of it is vegetables. It's very much, all your sauces are made from you cutting things up, you chopping, you sauteing and so on and so forth. So we can sub out the butter for an olive oil, or y'all calling it vegan butter. I call it margarine. That's basically what it is. What it is. But you can sub those things out. And I think as vegan culture is getting more on the front line, people are understanding that you can use like the oyster mushrooms for that chicken texture. My favorite, because I love, what's the name of that place? New Vegan's crab cake.
Oh, it's so good.
What? The heart of palm, you know, that texture, right? So if you think about all the things that, if you find the right texture, but you use the same style of cooking, it's easy. Like New Orleans has one of the best vegan cultures. It's just so many people don't understand because they think, you know, fried, or, you know, butter. And I mean, it's lots of that, but you can get the vegan version.
No, yeah, the cuisine scene there, everything there is just evolving, and it's cultural and it's artistic. Yeah, I really love it. Speaking of like cooking, what tips do you have for people who are kind of making that garden to table transition? Because once you learn how to grow the food, that's one part of it, but then actually being able to cultivate that into a meal, that's another part. So you are good
because you have transitioned from the plots to the pans.
That's the other part. We got to talk about the food.
I don't focus on the pots as much as, or the pans as much as I should, and mainly because when I start getting in the zone to cook, it's like one of those things where it's my space, and I'm again, I don't always find the, like, oh, let me grab the phone and the tripod, and it just doesn't happen. But so things that I enjoy growing, that I don't can. Christian, we didn't talk about how you tried to kill me at that. So when we had the apple butter So when we had the apple butter class, Christian was like, oh, just drop it drop the jar in the hot water bath. And I was like, I can't see the bottom. I'm too short. And he's like, no, not that big of a deal. And basically tried to burn me. And I was like, I think I did get popped. One of these scars, that's him. Tried to kill me. He tried to take the money maker.
Yeah, I literally drop it, but I know, you know, the vernacular.
Yeah, who you believe.
You gotta be specific when doing stuff like that. But that was a good learning experience.
So. It was a good learning experience. So things I like to grow. Grow and cook. So collard greens, I love because they're really, God willing, you don't have any issues with the brassicas, with the beetles and all that, the white flies and whatnot. But so collards, I tend to blanch them. I pick my greens. It's a process though, because you know, when you do collards, anybody doing one collard plant, you putting like 12 out there. Mm-hmm. So you got to go out there and look like an old lady with your big knife and whatnot. So I pull up the collards and I come inside. Honestly, I don't typically do it in one day because it's such a process, but I'll start the washing process of them. And with that, I do a little bit of vinegar and some of the Trader Joe's fruit cleaner. Are you familiar with that?
I
use that, and I get in there and I'm rubbing and checking leaves and whatnot. And then after that, I'm going in and I can't remember the actual technique, but, you know, rolling and chopping everything up. And then I freeze them and I put it in the freezer bag and I'll label everything. And then those are perfect for when you are, you know, ready to eat collard greens, because the cooking time is significantly reduced. So that's a perfect way of like bringing your plots into your pan. Another thing I do is with the tomatoes. So a lot of the things that I grow aren't necessarily grown to eat in that moment. Right. So I'll do the tomatoes and I like to go pick up a bunch of them at one time. And sometimes I do it in batches because you don't always have a ton of things on your garden at once. So I think that we're going to get back to that. Can we pin that?
Yes.
So I'll do the tomatoes and I like to just do a stew of the tomatoes. So I don't blanch the tomatoes. Some people do that, but I know how I'm cooking most things. So I'm just going to cook it down with tomato, olive oil, and some onions. that can go in any dish that I make. So I don't season them. And if I do season them, I'm doing a really light Tony Chachere's. But the reason I don't season it is because I don't know exactly what I'm going to put them in. So I know that I'm going to use them. And whatever I cook with them, they're going to have onions. Maybe not garlic. So that's why I stick with onions. Yep. But I'm going to saute them down. Again, freezer bag, what it is, and the date, drop it in there. And so what I was saying in terms of the batches is that I have some gardeners who are like, oh my God, how come I don't have 88 strawberries on my thing? And I'm like, well, one, it's a garden. It's right. Not a farm.
Right.
So we gotta be mindful and set the tone. So sometimes you may have 10 tomatoes that are ripe, depending on how many you're growing. And sometimes you might have two. So some bags are going to be full, or if you want to continue to fill the bag up, you can, but I would prefer multiple bags of the same thing. But I'm really mindful that everything isn't going to grow at the speed that I want it to grow in.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's super important. And that's so realistic. Like, people don't talk about that. You know, you're not harvesting, like you said, like you're going to the grocery store or the farm. It's like, these is quality things that you're eating and you're trying. So you got to be strategic about that. That's super. And that's probably the next frontier for me, is figuring out, how am I going to preserve this stuff?
Oh, I lost you. I can't see you anymore.
I'm still here. I don't know what happened there. That's all right.
You said, how are you going to preserve it?
Yeah. How are you going to preserve like the things you grow, I think, is the next frontier that I'm thinking about. Is like,
yeah, I mean, I wish we could do some more canning classes. I mean, obviously everybody can can on their own. I'm a little afraid. But I would love, like, again, I do think it'd be safer if you did it in a group setting, because whatever people have, right? So for me, one year I really wanted to do pickles. But I will be honest and say I didn't have all my supplies in a timely manner. So one, for people who I know who are my gardeners, who I know do want to eventually pickle things, I'm like, okay, well, if you know you want to pickle, you need to start getting your salt, getting your, you know, whatever accoutrements you want to add to it, have that stuff ready to go. Because as soon as those things are ready, it's going to be time to jump in there. So I definitely think pickling is a way to go. Some people dry things out. I am not a huge fan of like dried herbs. But there's a new thing that I saw online that I think I'm going to try this year, because most of us basil. Yeah. Do the basil and olive oil thing. But I saw some people do parsley and cilantro, and I thought that was really neat. So I think I'm going to try it this year.
Okay. Yeah, that'll definitely work. Yeah, I don't know what happens in my video here, but we'll just keep rolling with it.
It's okay. I lost focus for me.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's okay. It's all good. Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, that is the next step, because it's also about like just getting into that mindset, is that you don't have to eat what's in front of you sometimes. Like, there's different ways of preserving it. There's different ways of saving it. And that myself, like, honestly, the only thing I probably eat right on the spot is probably maybe salad greens, because I'm harvesting them. Specifically, you know, just to eat them for lunch or something like that. But
You know what, another thing we could share with our gardeners is that the taste of what you are growing doesn't always match the taste in the store.
Oh yeah.
When you said salad greens, one of my gardeners from last year was like telling me what she loved and what she didn't love, and she said, yeah, I don't want to grow lettuce again. And I was like, why? She's like, it tastes like dirt. And I was like, I'm like, I could see that. I was like, you know, or I think I grew arugula one year and it was so spicy. Now I like spice, but that pepper taste was just like, oh, okay. So, you know, some of the things that, you know, it wasn't nearly as like, I think like what you get from the market is just kind of on the milder side. So I think that the tastes are way more intense.
Absolutely. Yeah, that bitterness, like even like a certain lettuce, like can have a little bitterness. Then you'd be like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Romaine.
Yeah, like the basic stuff that you think is like, oh, like this is what it tastes like. And that's not the case, because when they are cultivating these vegetables for, you know, these grocery stores, mm-hmm. they're cultivating for the palates of the mainstream, or most of the time, white people.
I was about to say, you know, I don't even like saying mainstream. What is the term, that is the official term?
Or,
people of the global majority.
Yeah.
They the grocery stores tend to make the food palette for the people of the global minority.
Right. Right. Exactly. So it's like, you know, we grew up with certain things, but that's not like, and I would love to talk a little bit about like cultural crops, because I think one thing I'm interested in, for me, like, you know, it's my garden, because you're going to see stuff from the diaspora in there. You're going to see some Scotch bonnet peppers. You're going to see some Kalaloo. You're going to see.
Wait, you have Kalaloo?
I do have Kalaloo a little bit, but I'm going to get some more. I just went to the seed swap and everybody was asking for Kalaloo. I didn't know it was that hard to find in this area, but I guess
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. You see, I'm like, let me get some.
Yeah. So if I'm going to pick up some more, and I got you though, after this, I'll hook you up to my.
Please do.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's for me, like, super important, is like changing your palate, trying different things by growing different things. You know, there's certain things that I'm trying to grow here. Like, I think this year I'm going to try to grow garden eggs, which are kind of like eggplants. But the, you know, some people don't like eggplant. Like, I like eggplant. Well, me being, you know, the vegan and stuff I am,
right.
I use that as a substitute from time to time. But, you know, I'm okay with not even getting a lot of those, but I want to try to grow them this year. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think when you say the cultural plants, I think mine is always going to be and forever going to be okra.
Yeah.
Hands down. And it's part of the reason I wanted to learn how to can, because my favorite thing that my grandmother used to can was okra and tomatoes. Oh. And so that was an essential part of the gumbo, in terms of like, you add a jar of okra and tomatoes. And there is, yes, we do tomatoes in our gumbo. Not a lot though, but there are tomatoes in my gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
That's a New Orleans thing. People are like, you want tomatoes in your gumbo? Yes, a little bit of tomato. Because my mama did, okay? But yeah, but I want to learn how to like can that type of stuff. And even jams and jellies and not too much of that, but definitely the okra and tomatoes are a big thing. And pickles, I love pickles. So like, why not can them?
Right.
But like, oh, and chutneys. There's
I had a tamarind chutney that was really good. I actually started buying tamarind like whole.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff with that I'm really excited about, but like, oh man, yes.
Tamarind is so sweet to me, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when we would go to the islands, there would be tamarind candy, and it was just so, so sweet. But I do like tamarind as well. But like, you know, I have this pear tree, so I'm like, I could make some pear preserves, like something like that. But like pear and ginger and vanilla, oh, doesn't that sound great?
Yes.
Yeah, like. I'm like, I would love to make that and pan that. So I'm like, I think that's if that's where you want to go with it, I'm all in.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna make some time. We're gonna talk after this and figure out.
I love it.
Because we need to cook together, and I need to bring you some seeds, some plants, all that.
Listen, I'm here for it. I'm so excited.
All right. Man, well, thank you so much, Dominique, for, you know, being on the show today. I think you gave a lot of gems here. Where can people find you, first of all?
So you can find me. You can find me on Facebook at Plots and Pans. You can find me on Instagram at Plots and Pans, PlotsandPans. I'm on TikTok at Plots and Pans.
Yep.
And I guess that's it, but you can always find me. I'm around. Also, we can connect through any of these other great gardeners. So if you can't find me, if you maybe misspell something, Christian can get you in contact with me, but yeah, I'm around.
Exactly. I love that. Well, before we wrap up today, I always got to ask my guests one final question.
Ooh.
And this is a deep question, so feel free to think about it for a little bit. But my question is, what does it mean for you to be a part of the African diaspora?
Oh, man. That's a good question. What does it mean to me to be a part of the African diaspora? I mean, it means everything. I think my identity starts with me being Black. Mm-hmm. I'm Black before I'm a woman. I love being Black. I love all the things about it. I love the joy that we experience through everyday occurrences, whether it's joy through pain, joy through love, joy through just, oh man, I love being Black. I love the call and response. I love everything. I love my hair. Oh my gosh, all the things it can do. I love my big lips and my big nose. I love the different colors my skin can turn in the winter and summer. But I love everything about being Black. I don't think there's any one thing I can say that I love about being a part of the African diaspora. I think it is who I am. And I think just the complexities of being a Black person, I don't know. I have no desire to even find out what it means to be a part of anything else.
I love that. That's always, I just love that question because you just really see people open up and
yeah. I mean, I just, and it's funny because when you say the African diaspora, it's so weird. I don't know why that term brings up this one thing for me. But so I talked about the okra and tomatoes that my grandmother canned, and it was a big part of my life. You eat okra and tomatoes and cornbread, you know, yeah. You eat okra and tomatoes in your gumbo, whatever the case may be. And a friend of mine, I remember years ago, she's from Sierra Leone, and she talked about eating okra and tomatoes. And she was showing it, like, you know, the way they cooked it there. And mm-hmm. It literally looked the same as what my grandmother made. Mm-hmm. Then my best friend and my sister's best friend, we all went to Brazil. And we went to a churrascaria. And one of the items, like in the little cultural section, was okra and tomatoes. And it looked exactly the same. And it's just such an interesting dish to me because it's something that I thought was just a Louisiana thing, but this one dish is an example of the African diaspora as a whole of in Brazil, in Sierra Leone, and in little country town, Louisiana, this one dish is all the same, right? So that's the African diaspora to me, like the stretch of one simple meal that the whole world or we all eat it. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, I love that. All right. Well, I think that's it for today. I think we'll wrap it up there. Yay. You tied it up in a nice little bow. Thank you so much for
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad I got to join you.
Yeah, no problem. Well, that's it for today, y'all. That's it. That's a wrap. So go ahead and go to iTunes, you know, give your boy 5 stars. Throw a little comment in there. We're trying to get better each and every week. So if you're feeling your boy, go ahead and take care of that. Share this podcast with your fellow foodies and gardeners, and I'll talk to y'all next week. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And remember, keep moving to the beat of your own drum. Talk to you later, fam. Peace.